greetings to your listeners here and there. I greet you in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our soon coming King. It is prayer time in the city and in the surrounding counties. Let us now go to the throne of grace. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, we bless you now. Father, we tell you thank you just for how good you've been. Father, we tell you thank you because you woke us up this morning, started us on another day's journey, and for this, we tell you thank you. We tell you thank you, Father, because today we celebrate fathers, and God, we tell you thank you. We tell you thank you for the fathers and the grandfathers that are in our lives on today. Oh, God, we ask that you touch their hearts now, that you draw them closer to you in the mighty name of Jesus, and we'll give your name praise, and we tell you thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Amen. Happy Father's Day. And because today is Father's Day, we'd just like to let you know where Father's Day came from and how it got started. But I want to leave you a thought today, and the thought that I'll leave with you and our message would be, when fathers go wrong. When fathers go wrong. Now, the idea for children to honor their fathers began in Sport King, Washington. A woman by the name of Sonya Smart Dobb thought of the idea for Father's Day while listening to a Mother's Day sermon in 1909. Having been raised by her father, William Jackson Smart, after her mother died, Sonya wanted her father to know how special he was to her. It was her father that made all the parental, all of the things that dealt with the parent. He was the one that made those sacrifices. And in the eyes of his daughter, he was the greatest parent. And now, because he was a courageous and he was a selfless and he was a loving man, so Sonya's father was born on June. Actually, he was born in June. So she chose to hold the first Father's Day celebration in Sport King, Washington on the 19th of June. In 1926, a National Father's Day Committee was formed in New York City. Father's Day was recognized by a joint resolution of Congress in 1956. In 1972, President Richard Nixon established a permanent national observance of Father's Day to be held on the third Sunday of June. So Father's Day was born in memory and gratitude by a daughter who thought that her father and all good fathers should be honored with a special day, just as we honor our mothers on Mother's Day. So today we celebrate Father's Day because of a young girl that was raised by her father after her mother died in 1909. And to you fathers, we salute you. And we're going to talk about briefly when fathers go wrong. When fathers go wrong. What happens when fathers go wrong? Now, the Lord admonishes us fathers, admonish you fathers in Exodus 20 and 5, that the iniquity of the fathers will be visited upon the children until the third and fourth generation. What happens when fathers go wrong? And let's just think about David, and that's who we're going to talk about it briefly. With David, David was a man after God's own heart. He first was a shepherd, and he was a singer, and then he was sovereign. He was a king. But David, when he committed sin with Bathsheba by committing adultery and then arranging for the death of her husband, because of that action by David, it hit all generations from David. This sword was laid at David's door. So what happens when fathers go wrong? When fathers go wrong, it influences their children. Let's go to the Word of God, and briefly we'll talk about David and Bathsheba. We'll read just a few verses until I feel the Holy Ghost say stop. But we will talk about what happens when fathers go wrong. We're in 2 Samuel 11, starting at the first verse. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David rose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to him. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, "I am with child." And David sent to Joab, saying, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come to David, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, "Go down to thy house and wash thy feet." And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his own house. And when they had told David, saying, "Uriah went not down unto his house," David said unto Uriah, "Camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down into thine house?" And Uriah said unto David, "The ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into my house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing." And David said to Uriah, "Tarry here today also and tomorrow, and I will let thee depart." So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. And I feel that we would just stop here, and I can kind of tell you that story, what happened here when David found out that Uriah was not going to go to his home and lay with his wife. Then David tried to think of something else to do. So what he did, he had sent you a letter by Uriah, by his own hand, and he sent the letter saying to put Uriah on the front line. And so he plotted to have Uriah killed, which he did. So what happened with this story, and it still talks about what happened when fathers go wrong. What happens when fathers go wrong? So what David did, because he saw Bathsheba, and he went into her, and he laid with her, and the child was born. So then he did not want Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, to find out that she was pregnant from someone else, and then she may well tell that it was he that was the father of her child. So David brought Uriah to the house so he could go down to his own house and he could lay with his wife. But Uriah was dedicated. He was loyal to his men, and he said he cannot do that because his men was on the battlefield. So David saw that he wasn't going down there. So David gave him a letter and told them to put him on the front line so that he could get killed. So that's what happened But all of that, then the next chapter tells about Nathan the prophet, how Nathan came to David and told David that the thing that he did displeased the Lord, and David repented. But God told David through the prophet that the sword will not leave his house. So what happens when fathers go wrong? Well, from that, because of David, and his generation suffered. His children suffered. That's what happens when fathers go wrong. The children suffered. Right behind that, because God told David that the sword would not leave his house, would not leave his door because of what he had done. So we see in that 13th chapter where one of David's sons raped David's daughter. So there is this sword. Then there is Absalom. Absalom was the son that David loved. But Absalom was the one that tried to take the kingdom away from David. Absalom was the one that he wanted to steal the kingdom from David. And this is what happens when fathers go wrong. Now look at yourselves and look around you and look at people that you may know. When fathers mess up, it affects their children. When fathers go wrong in their lives, it triples down to their children. When fathers choose the wrong way, the children is going to follow and choose the wrong way. 9 times out of 10, it's the male child that when the father mess up in society and when the father chooses the life of sin, that's why many times you'll find father and son in the same jail, because the father messed up. Because fathers has an influence on their sons. Fathers have an influence on their children. The influence, whether it's good or bad, a bad father will influence a good son and still produce a bad son. Why? Because the seed of the father that he implanted in the son by telling him in his lifestyle, if that son grew up watching that dad be on drugs all the time, day in and day out, 9 times out of 10, that son is going to do the same thing. If that son grew up and see dad selling drugs and he's a big drug dealer, 9 times out of 10, that son is going to grow up to be the same thing. That's the influence that fathers have on their children. So what happens when fathers go wrong? Same thing happened with David. When David went wrong and he chose to do things his way, it penetrated, it trickled down to his children. It trickled down especially to Absalom. And Absalom was the one that David really loved. But Absalom got in trouble and ended up getting killed because all of this from one sin that David did, even though God forgave him, the consequences remained in his house. The Bible said that the sword would stay at his house, would lie at his door. So I say to you fathers that you be careful what you do, because whatever you do, it will influence your children. Whether it influence your girls, sometimes it doesn't have a whole lot of influence on the girls. It's usually the mother, but 9 times out of 10, it will influence your children. So what happens when fathers go wrong? The children suffers when fathers go wrong. I say to you today, I pray that something I said has helped you in some way. And if the Lord has been tugging on your heart to sow a seed into this ministry, please do so. Sow a seed into Hope for Today, P.O. Box 18252, Savannah, Georgia 31418. And until the next time, remember, there is hope for today.